Welcome, everyone, to Christ's Blessing on the 27th day of January in the new year of 2019. You know, it actually has such a familiar ring to my heart because I was born and lived most of my life in the 19th century. So I, in a way, I feel some energy of look back, number-wise, to life as I knew it for so long. And hoping this will be a great year for everyone, and most especially for those that have come to seek the blessings of Christ. So if you want to ask for a blessing or express your gratitude or share a miracle, we love to hear from our community. Just press *6. And then when the prompt tells you, press 1, and it brings you onto our Q&A board. I'm going to open the line for Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you are on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Elizabeth in New York, and I would just like to ask that you would put my friend Julie, who is in South London, England, on your list. I spoke with her this morning and told her about you, and she's having some physical problems and is off to the doctor and things tomorrow, and she asked me to put her name on the list this afternoon, so I know that.
That's great.
Help her greatly.
She's on.
Yes.
She is on.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Glenda.
And, yeah. And we have a caller from area code 415. You are on. You may have to unmute your own phone.
Hello, Glenda. Stephen Adler here in California.
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, hello and welcome. How's your back?
You know, it's still there, and I'm still just having faith that you know, blessings are still on their way to help me heal physically. And also, I just want to make sure that you put yourself and Larry on the list to receive all the blessings that you so deserve. And I just, you know, hope that everything that you need to carry on is coming your way quickly and easily. And so I just want to say that.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephen. We really appreciate that. And I do put us on the list, but on Sunday afternoon when I'm conveying the blessing, it is my greatest pleasure to find a point of complete neutrality so that I can just surrender to the grace of God and the love of Christ for the benefit of others. And you would be surprised. Well, you wouldn't be surprised because you are a blessing giver, but most people would be. How much great good comes to me being able to be at peace in the midst of a storm. It really does change things. And I hope that I can help everyone to find that place of grace and peace in the midst of whatever storm is happening in life. And there are a lot of them going on. As a minister, I see this multiple times every day. We're in a world where people are challenged by the changes going on, and unfortunately the changes that are going on tend to uproot our life. And so whatever is a weak point or a stress point or something we have not been able to deal with in the cumulative sense then raises its head as a critical issue. Yesterday I was waiting for a technical person to come over and assist me to make sure we could get online today. That's been another, you know, this is a good example of how problems can become cumulative. We have across the country some huge, huge blizzards and winter storms, and the central server for our internet provider is in Omaha, Nebraska. It brought down their tower and their service system, everything, last weekend, which is why I needed Tony's help on the call. And I hope you hear today, Tony. It was lovely having a co-host. But anyway, it was supposed to come back up quickly, but it didn't. There was a cumulative effect that came from that server center going down that spread through all the recipients of getting things working. So by the time we got our tech man out on Friday, I thought I should have my own personal tech service out here to make sure it was done right. Well, my tech service man was about 3 hours late, and I kept writing and writing and writing. And what's happening? What's wrong? He said, I'm sorry, I just can't be there. I'm really, really sorry. Well, he shows up late, and I say, what in the world is wrong? He said, well, I went on one of my calls and landed in the middle of a domestic violence situation, and I couldn't leave without doing something to relieve the pressures and the dangers in that situation. And I went, oh my God. Okay. All right. Are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm stressed from it all, but I'm fine. And we got it all settled out. So there's an example. There's just an example of how when one domino falls, you can have 20 fall behind it. And you have no idea what weak spots, sore spots, issues, damage, or critical moments some of those dominoes may fall into. So what we have to really, really be aware of is just being the love that we are. Be your best self inside of whatever situation comes up and know that actually God works from the inside out. This is an important opportunity we have to learn. When we have lived for many years in a more gracious, predictable situation, we have seen our blessings come externally because we collectively, as a human family, have worked together to create the environment as well as we could. That's not to say it was ever perfect, but because we cared about each other, we made the environment feel and work and serve as best we could. And when it didn't, we'd fix it as quickly as we could. But we were pretty much focusing from the outside in. And we kind of thought that what's inside a person is between themselves and themselves, or between themselves and God, or between themselves and the Holy Spirit. And we'll do what we can to help them from the outside in. Well, we've got a new opportunity and a new learning curve right now. And it's one of the great things that will come from this era of tribulations is the blessings from the outside in are too much part of a, shall we say, a windstorm. To use an analogy that comes home to me, a hurricane. The wind is blowing in circles, and we have this whirlwind coming around every day, and we have dominoes falling. And there's just too much stuff to take care of or even predict. But if you will learn this, and I pray that you do as soon as possible, and you may need to reread Love Without End, because that's what it's all about. Learning to find the love that you are, the self that you are, that connects with God inside, in the Sacred Heart, and works from the inside out. So that problems are, external problems are not the issue. The issue is, how do we deal with them? How do we accept them? Learn from them, bless them, and use them for our enlightenment, our growth, and our development of compassion for other people. And from the inside out, no matter how great a problem is, we will begin to find our answers. Sometimes it takes a lot of humility, a lot of willingness just to serve, and forget the problem, to be on the inside. This is what Yeshua had to struggle with in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before, or the night of his arrest. The apostles, and most especially Judas, was saying to him, but Lord, you have all the power in the world. Just go out and change this problem. They were telling him to change it from the outside in. He knew better. He knew that once you start changing things from the outside in, there is no end to the problem. There is no end to how one thing will bring on another and another and another. He didn't know how deep he would have to go into surrender, but that's what he was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was surrendering. He was saying, God, my Father, holy is your name. Thy will be done. Your will be done, and I surrender to your will. And it's not because he was giving up. It's because he was going inside to where the power really is. He knew he would have to endure some terrible pain. He wasn't sure yet. Obviously, by the remarks he made on the cross, he wasn't sure yet it would go all the way into death. Because on the cross he said, Abba, Abba, why have you forsaken me? Which shows he was still hoping that God would come in and change things inside out, from the inside out on the cross. Our Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father, was not ready to perform that miracle. He wanted him to go all the way home. And he did go all the way home inside the tomb. And on Easter morning, he was brought all the way back, transformed. And in his transformation, he transformed the world. I am quite sure, personally, I am quite sure the entirety of the human race was transformed, whether they knew about his life or knew him or not. Because I have studied this. I have studied the history and anthropology of our earth in all cultures and races around the world. And I noticed they all changed about 2,000 years ago. They didn't think the same way after that. And that's even the ones that didn't know about him. There have been periods of time when the entire DNA changed for humanity. We have seen that in archaeological and DNA tracing studies of the history of humanity. When at moments when everything changed, we thought differently. The pictographs were different. In the beginning, very, very many thousands of years ago, pictures were just symbols. Then at a certain point in time, the symbols became a language. They were still pictures, but they were pictographs that conveyed consecutive meanings. And then from pictographs, we changed to abstract symbols that conveyed a more abstract meaning. Co-tangent with that, our social interactions were changing, and this happened all over the world, whether there was any direct connection or not, which means that our Heavenly Father, in his good time, by his good grace, moves us along, shall we say. And I know that we are going into times right now where we are going to be moved along. And this was predicted and stated in the New Testament to predict these times. And we wonder why. Why the chaos? Why the tribulation? Why does this have to happen? Why can't our Father just move us along? There's a very good reason for it. Because until chaos overwhelms us, we'll keep looking for the answer outside. Outside ourselves. We will do that. I promise you, we will do that. I have had an extreme buildup of problems externally since the arrival of Harvey on our coastal shores in 2017. And I won't go into all those details. They're by this point, they're just simply boring. Who wants to hear again about an external tragedy? But they accumulated. They accumulated in terms of health, financial resources, physical health, the ability to perform creative jobs, the ability to get things done, just overwhelming. In other words, Harvey brought to the shore a hurricane, but he left in his path a whirlwind of consecutive results that allowed no more linear action to take place. Inside of a whirlwind, where do you find peace? At the heart of the storm. That's the only place you can find it. And what is the heart of the storm? Well, you are. In other words, just as Yeshua had to surrender in the Garden of Gethsemane to the answers being from the inside out, so too Larry and I and those who are directly involved in the work of Spiritus, we had to surrender to the answers being from the inside out. I know that that's why the splendid and amazing donation that we have been promised for 2 years now has been delayed. It's been delayed so the answers will not come from the outside in. God will not allow that. He's going to make sure those answers come from the inside out. And not just with me, but with all those I love, all those I care for, our entire community, the way we reach into the world, the way we serve the world, the way we are with our missions in other countries. And the amazing thing is during this windstorm that's been happening, our missions have grown. I have had even more people bring to me their whirlwinds and say, please, I know you know how to handle this. How do I handle my whirlwind? What's going on? What do I do? And I say, be in the middle of it. You have to accept it with love. You have to be there. And from the inside, you will find your power. And inside that power, all will be done. All will be transformed. And so that's why I don't put myself on the list, because I'm on it all the time. And here on Sunday is my opportunity just to be inside the windstorm for everybody else and to be that encouraging force for all of you, because I know it's happening for all of you. I know it's happening around the world, and I know why it's happening, because we cannot take the next giant leap as Homo novus, you might say, the new humanity, until we have gone through it from the inside out. It's like reaching inside a sock, grabbing the toe and pulling it inside out. That's what God is demanding of us right now. And you will have miracles all the way through this as you go. Bless the miracles as they happen. Miracles are happening for us. And every single miracle that is happening for us happens as a result of me surrendering to the problem. Not me going out to attack the problem, but surrendering to the problem. So I'm beginning to get the message. And while I'm on that subject, I do want to thank everybody who has come in to help, because you are the miracle. The fact that we are working together is the miracle. The fact that this is solidifying our church and our legacy to the future is the miracle. That's what God loves more than anything else. The miracle that we are working together. So I'm going to take another caller now. And blessings to you, Stephen. I know the answer is going to come to you, and it will come from the inside out. That's the only place it is right now. I've struggled and fought and struggled and fought until finally I said, okay, amen. I've got it. And I said, Yeshua, give me the courage to be like you in your surrender. I've always wanted to be like you in your love, but I didn't want to be like you in your surrender. I really didn't think I was up to it. But he's given me new strength, new courage, new compassion, and that level of compassion has been necessary for us to go to the next step. Okay, we have a caller from area code 413, and you're on. Hi.
Aloha, Glenda, and this beautiful community, beloved community. This is Sarah from Santa Cruz.
Hello.
Hello. I just want to say thank you so much. Such a powerful message. It's just going right into my heart. And I just thank you so much for, you have such a humble and powerful way of teaching and being. And so much gratitude for that.
You're welcome. Yes. And as you can tell from my voice, I'm not unhappy. Really, I'm not.
Oh, I hear that.
Even if the worst happened, I would go through it happy, knowing that it's an opportunity to pull a sock inside out. And on the other side of that, I'm going to have a clean sock to wear.
Such a cute metaphor. So sweet. And thank you so much. Your blessing and your message last week, I was just in a really tough place, and I feel like I surrendered as much as I could and really received the blessings from where I was. And there was so much more power in my life this week. Like, there was this real clearing. I felt a physical clearing, energy leaving after the eclipse, and so much more power coming through. I want to do that more and more. I commit myself that to more and more. And I wanted to say, especially I'm finding when I just ask for God's solutions to whatever I think is a problem, and then just as much as I can trust and just give it to God. And I don't know the right solution, but my Father, Mother, God does. And the more I surrender and have faith in that, the better things are.
The more we all do, Sarah, the more new answers will come to everybody. These are going to be new answers that come. They will be.
Yeah.
And so, blessings, my dear. And I've got you on the list.
Thank you. And may I just say one little specific thing on there?
Sure.
Thank you. That I'm about to start a new semester. I teach college. And just a blessing from Yeshua for all teaching, for all learning. May it be from our authentic hearts. And may it be education that is, not about information, but about us and our teaching. We know emotion is where it's at, loving our students. May all teachers and students feel love and community and trust of each other. And just a prayer for all of us who, we're all students, and a prayer for all of those who are in kind of formal schooling, students and teachers.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. And pray that prayer during the blessing. It would be great.
Oh, okay. I will. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. All right. We have Ken on the line. Hi, Ken.
Glenda, so great to be here and listen to and hear everything that you're saying. It's just absolutely wonderful, this beautiful Sunday afternoon, you know. And I have a question that I guess I've been pondering with for a long time, and I wanted kind of your perspective on it. And it's basically, where is the feminine within all of Yeshua's message? Because the masculine side, for me, is very irritating, because it's the feminine that gives birth. It's the feminine that really is the creation of all life. We all come from the feminine. And when you think of science and nature and development, masculinity is an offshoot. It's a subset of what feminine is. And so how do you see that?
Well, I see the feminine being extremely strong in his mission, because his entire life was about acceptance, compassion, and surrender. He refused the militant position. He refused to go out and change the world from the outside in. There were moments when he commanded with, shall we say, masculine authority. And you have to remember that in those days, the world was dominated almost exclusively by masculine leadership. Women had very little say in anything. And so the feminine energy had to be found inside of the masculine community and brotherhood. But one of the great suppressed elements of his ministry is that there were women called to be apostles. I know that Mary Magdalene was one of them. And we are even told the name of another one. Her name was Junia, and it's in the New Testament. She is acknowledged not as just someone in the community, but an apostle. She and her brother were both apostles. So a lot of this was removed. A lot of the feminine side of Christianity was removed when it integrated with the forces of Rome, which were totally masculine. There was no place inside of Rome for the feminine energy. But inside of Christianity, there were several different orientations. One of them happened to be the Gnostics, that were extremely oriented toward the feminine, taking on much a very similar quality to the Sufi thoughts, and forming the mystical roots of Christianity. If you want to study that in depth more, I would highly recommend my book called The Way to a Greater Life, because alongside, for 2,000 years, the Orthodox doctrinal controlled community of the Christian faith, which was essentially, well, through masculine leadership. We did have our nuns, we did have the service from many devoted women, but essentially the structure of the church was masculine, and it used masculine energy and force, and that's been a pretty big turnoff to a lot of people. And what most people don't realize is that running parallel to that church, the whole 2,000 years, was an apostolic church that went on generation to generation to generation that was mystical. And some of the most devoted and well-loved historical figures of our Christian faith, including St. Thomas Aquinas, including St. Francis, St. Bernadette, St. Hildegard of Bingen, and others and others and others, so many that you've heard of, but maybe you didn't understand what their work was all about. They were part of this parallel side. It's the mystical side of Christianity. And therein is the feminine side you're looking for. So get the book. And one of the reasons I wrote it is because I needed to explain to other people a little more clearly, my place in all of this, why he came to me, and that I'm not unique, that there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people predating me that he visited and he illuminated because they were open to the mystical message. So I can't give you the whole answer on this call, Ken, but the book will give you a lot more to understand.
That's amazing. I mean, that is so rich, you know, what you just described. That makes so much sense because, you know, to kind of use the term that you were saying before, maybe that's a big part of grabbing the sock and turning the toe inside out. You know, it's like
yeah.
you've really got to go in and see what's the heart and soul of that femininity and where these two energies fit together and where's the one that is the preeminent one and where's the one
mm-hmm.
that is kind of like the complementary to the preeminent one. So, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, so go read the book. That's why I wrote it. That's why I wrote it, because it's the next chapter. It's the next, it's my third book and it's the next chapter. So we went from Love Without End, where Yeshua comes, to just me the person, and me the person. I'm just asking questions that anyone might ask. And then he brilliantly and lovingly, lifts me up to an understanding that I was capable of at that time. Then in the following years, people asked me out to present the story, and I presented it in front of so many diverse audiences and congregations and interest groups. He would come through me again and again and again, enriching the message, which became, and had to become, the next book, The Keys of Yeshua. So that really came from having an expanded audience that he was talking to. First he was talking to me, and then he was talking to an expanded audience. And then I wanted to take a look at the larger community that he has been coming to mystically for 2,000 years. And that became the third book. So everybody, don't stop with the first and second book. Go on to the third. You'll have some great answers that will help you through these troubled times.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You are so welcome. And I think we have almost come to, we've passed our time to start the blessing. And the reason I like to start it on time is because we have people around the world in our missions that just simply can't afford to call in, but they tune in. And they're already in prayer, ready to receive. So I would like to go ahead and get started. Before I do, I just wanted to see if, Tony, do you have anything to say today? You've been very quiet.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Actually, I was here with you. I actually figured out how to unmute me. I just did that before you said my name. It was a beautiful call today so far. I loved what you were touching on. And I just want to mention the eclipse. The eclipse was really beautiful. It was kind of miraculous. It was raining here off and on all afternoon and evening, and then it cleared out perfectly for the eclipse.
Great.
So that was really, really, really gorgeous. And still we can see the conjunction of Jupiter and Venus. If you're up in the morning, probably after about 3 a.m., look to the east, and you can
okay.
see they're very bright if it's dark. So let's see. Right now, the moon is kind of getting over near them. So actually, we're probably going to have a conjunction with Venus and yeah, in the next few days we'll have a moon Jupiter Venus conjunction, so that might be nice to see. And then then we're going to have the new moon coming up about a week from now, actually on the 4th. So anyway, yes, thanks so much. It's always just wonderful to connect and to be here and to hear everybody and to feel everybody. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for being here with me, Tony. I love having a co-host and having this be like teamwork, which, of course, it is, because everybody on the call, even if you came only to receive, you're part of the team, because you don't just receive for yourself. You are receiving for everyone in your life, everyone you will meet in the coming week, everyone who asks you for help. The energy you receive will spill beyond the cup that can hold it, and it will still be beyond you. So in your prayer, ask for your need and be very specific. Let God know exactly what would be wonderful for you. Sometimes we're not specific enough, and I have been learning lately how important it is to be specific. And I don't mean specific in the sense of, I need a parking place on Third Avenue. I don't mean that. That's again, looking on the outside. By specific, I mean, how would it be in your life to receive this miracle? What would happen? What would it feel like for you? And what would it do for you? See, this is what your father is interested in. He's interested in helping you be the you that you are. He wants to know, my darling, what would it feel like for you if I did this for you? Be specific. I would wake up in the morning so grateful and so joyful, and I would be able to get back to the work I love doing most. Things like that. So in your prayer, get very specific about yourself. And then don't end your prayer without being generous to others. Pray for them as well. Pray for the earth and for all that you might be coming in contact with in the following week. So that being said, let us begin. I will say my prayer to Yeshua. Blessing givers, please join me. And everyone else, just be seated and relaxed. The only thing you have to do is uncross your arms and legs so the energy can flow. Oh, beloved, Son of God, Lord of life, brother to us all, we are here to join our life with yours, to learn how we can turn our life into its transformative potential, just as you found a way to turn your life into a transformative potential that affected us all and the whole earth forever and ever. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for being with those who don't even know to seek you. Your generosity extends even beyond our known request. And yet we do request on behalf of those who don't know to, for the children, the elderly, the sick, the worried, the frightened, those in turbulent areas of the earth, those who have no food. We pray that there would be food on their plate or resources that would allow food to be grown or developed or provided. And not just food for our bodies, but food for our heart, our mind, and our soul. For all these things, we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has now been given, and it's up to you to continue receiving. Let's start with a rest time, at least 7 minutes. No thinking aloud. Don't even continue your prayer. Just rest, be blessed, and be with the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now. And I wish you all the blessings of life, personally, in addition to the blessings from Christ. So hope to see you next week, and I'm sure we will.